Why, yes, that sound means it's time to talk to the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, Brian Haney, brought to you as always every Thursday on the Sports Ticket by Anderson Insurance Agency. Brian, how you doing on September the 23rd? The fall began yesterday. It's a new season, my man.
Man, it feels like fall came yesterday. It got a lot chillier, and maybe that's a good thing. I think Kansas on Saturday looked a little bit flat, and my broadcast partner, David Lawrence, thinks it has a lot to do with the 90-degree temperatures and the fact that we practice in the mornings. And so maybe we need a little chill of fall to roll in and get some real football weather and hopefully bounce back in a big way this week out at Duke.
Yeah, that would be nice, no doubt. And listen, whether it's football or basketball, I want Duke to lose in everything. That's just how I am. I when I was younger, I remember Duke ruining things for my Jayhawks in 1986. And ever since then, Duke has been dead to me. So I want them to lose in everything. And I don't care if it's a football game that's not really on the radar nationally. I want KU to beat Duke, or anybody to beat Duke for that matter. But before we get to Duke and my feelings about them, Baylor, 45-7 was the final, Brian. 14-7, KU was in it at halftime, and then things just kind of went south in the second half.
Yeah, and, you know, they were headed south for much of the first half. We just did a good job of damage control. There was a key forced fumble and fumble recovery that halted the second Baylor drive of the game. But you get to the end of the first quarter, and they've got a 158 yards gain, and we have -8, and somehow we're only down 7. And it continued in the second quarter until we finally had a late first half scoring drive, and Trevor Wilson finds the end zone for the first time as a Jayhawk, which was awesome because suddenly you cut the deficit in half, you're going to get the ball to start the third quarter, and you think, wow, even though they've outgained us by 200 some yards, this is a ball game. We're within striking distance. Let's just, you know, take this momentum and go down and score again to start the third quarter. And who knows, might be a whole new ball game. And unfortunately, the start that Kansas got off to in the first quarter was replicated in the third quarter. And those three and outs continued. And on a really hot day where the defense was forced to get back out on the field with essentially no time coming off the clock, they looked like a club that just wore down over time. And that dam broke eventually. To the tune of a 31-0 second half, and that's where you got to play better complementary football as an offense. Even if you're not scoring on each drive, possess it a little longer, move the chains a little bit to keep field position on your side, but more than anything, give your defense a chance to take a breather, because with all the running back talent and the mobile quarterback of Baylor that they had to keep tabs on and track down throughout the day, eventually if you're out there 80% of the time, they're going to wear you down and take it to you, and that's what we saw in the second half. And you know, it was never a contest after, you know, early third quarter action. So I think that, you know, in terms of positive takeaways, you're glad that Kansas was able to compete to make it close, despite the fact that the yardage differential was so steep. You love the fact that they forced a couple of the fumbles, with Kenny Logan having a hand in both, recovering one, forcing the other. O.J. Burrows and Romello Dotson were the other Jayhawks involved on those plays. But the offense clearly took a step back. And it's sad, in talking to Les Miles, talking to Lance Leipold last night.
You've been talking to Les lately? Good to know, man.
Talking to Coach Leipold last night, you know, because they had some really good stuff in the works schematically, offensively. But when you're going three and out each time, they didn't have a chance to get into some of those down and distance scenarios where they were going to kind of take the lid off a little bit, so to speak. And so that stuff's still in the playbook, but you know, you got to hit on a couple of shorter throws first to get some breathing room and all that to really get some of the creative stuff going. And maybe we'll have that opportunity coming up on Saturday afternoon in Durham. But clearly, the offense was stuck in neutral throughout the day, and then obviously we find out on Monday that Felton Gardner's entering the transfer portal, and so things are going to look a little bit different running back. I don't think it's a huge loss for Kansas, because the tea leaves were pointing in the direction of Devin Neal and Amari Pesek-Hixon anyway. But anytime you lose a guy, you know, the first month of the season, as Kansas has had happen in recent years with Puka the year before and Khalil Herbert 2 years ago, it's never a good thing. And it's always come at the running back position, it seems. But, you know, that was frustrating. And I think, you know, Jason Bean's day for him personally was frustrating, because he was under a lot of duress and never really established a comfortable rhythm, missed a couple of throws when he did have time to plant and fire, and so it's a day he'll learn and grow from and bounce back from. But we got our guy at quarterback. We have plenty of capable guys around him. We'd like to give him a little more time, to make decisions back there. But as we've seen, if they need to roll him out to buy more time and extend the pocket, he's capable. He's just got to be a little more accurate on some of those throws, and then he knows that. But clearly, you know, we still have a lot of optimism going forward. It was not the type of performance that, you know, makes you feel like you sustained momentum or built upon it like the Coastal game did. But it is, you know, a juncture in the season where you still have 75% of your games in front of you, so you can't get too deflated or discouraged. I think it's one you learn from quickly, and then you put it squarely in the rearview mirror and on to the next, because you got 9 more chances, and hopefully it'll be a much different-looking Kansas football team on Saturday.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each and every Thursday on the Sports Ticket by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Becky, 118 North Midland Boulevard, or call them today at 738-5701. I was a talking point after the game. It's not like it's a major deal, but it is interesting, and I'd like to get your input on this. That is Coach Leipold's demeanor on the sidelines. Listen, I like a fiery coach, especially goes to bat for his team. You know, I think there is a balance between being way too reserved in a player's coach and being way over the top in the face of everybody as well. I think there's a delicate balance to deal with. I coach youth sports, and I think there's a balance as to when you want to, you have to tell kids hustle, hurry up, and this and that, and you got to pick your battles, you know, because you can't win every one of them. But Coach Leipold's demeanor was a talking point after the game. What about the fire and energy that he has and what he brings to the team?
I think it's awesome. Yeah. I love seeing the passion on the sidelines, and we were talking about it on the previous talk a week and a half ago about how some reporters were comparing it to Bill Self's sideline demeanor, and I asked Coach about that, Coach Leipold, and he said, you know what, I'll take any Bill Self comparison I can get. But I think you like that, because he's going to always be the advocate for the players, as you said, having their backs. He's not going to let the wool be pulled over his eyes and take a call that he feels is the wrong call lightly. And, you know, what sucks about college football and college sports in general is whenever you have blatantly missed calls, like the push in the back 3 yards out of bounds on Saturday that he was so animated about, you know, you can appeal that call by sending in the tape and why you think it was wrong the next day, and usually by Tuesday you get an apology letter. But that and 50 cents will buy you a cup of coffee. I mean, it doesn't help you with the outcome of the game. And you can be told, sorry, our bad, you know, but it doesn't do you much good. You can go to your players and say, hey, you know, the official feels sorry he got it wrong, but it doesn't change the outcome. And when you're a program that was winless a year ago and you're trying to build yourself up from the bottom up, you can't have, you know, huge breaks go against you like that. And, an apology letter from the conference doesn't do a whole lot of good when your margin for error is so small to begin with, and you need some of those calls to go your way. So I love it that he has, you know, been so adamant in defending his players, standing up when he disagrees with things, and doing so in an animated fashion. It's not like he's drawing sideline warnings or any type of penalty because of it, but he's showing that hey, you know, we're going to hold you to a high standard, just as we hold our players to a high standard. And I think if you read his lips during the play that we're talking about on Saturday, he said, that's on you. That's on you. And so it was nothing, you know, vulgar or anything like that. It was just a very intense, hey, you got to do better. And I for one, think it's great. I thought he showed passion and convictedness in his words in the Tuesday press conference in a couple of moments, one of which one of the reporters was asking about Coach Leipold, as you try to build this thing up. And he paused him and said, no, there's no try. We will build this thing. Yeah. We are building this thing. And I just thought, good on him, man. You know, he's not one to go out there and overpromise and throw, you know, lofty, specific goals out there with certain timetables. But he is one to say, we're going to get the job done. We will put in the necessary work. And he's not bashful about that one bit. So I love it. I think his style is all substance and hard work and self-confidence that if you do it the right way, eventually it's going to get done. And that, to me, really resonates with our fan base here in the Sunflower State. I think it's going to resonate with the types of recruits he's trying to reel in right now. And when they see a coach that has the players back, whether it's on the sideline on Saturdays or in the media midweek or whatever, that's a guy I'd want to run through a wall for. That's a guy I'd want to lace him up for. And I think a lot of recruits will feel that way.
All right, the matchup against Duke, a non-con game after having the Big 12 opener last week against Baylor. Kickoff at 3, pregame at 2:30 on Z96.3 at Lake. You're home for the Jayhawks in North Central Kansas. As I said, anytime Duke or the New York Yankees lose, I'm okay with that. And Duke is the opponent. Now, KU's had, of course, issues on the road for quite some time, winning ball games on the road, as we know. What do we know about Duke and what they bring to the table come Saturday?
I think what Coach Cutcliffe has built there now in his 14th season is what you'd love to see Lance Leipold build here. It took him 4 or 5 years to get it going to the bowl eligibility type level, and we'd obviously love it to be faster. But once he did, he's winning 7, 8 games a season. They had one 10-win year, and I know it's a lot different with ACC scheduling than it is Big 12 scheduling, having to play everybody, and the conference generally is tougher than the ACC. But still, I mean, he got Duke from a similar place to where Kansas has been at into now being relevant every year and, you know, competitive for postseason bowl opportunities almost each season. And I think you got to tip your cap to him. In this case, what to expect for Saturday? Well, they just beat Northwestern because they had 5 takeaways. And they built up a big first-half lead cashing in on those turnovers and then held on to win it close late. But it's an opportunistic defense that Kansas needs to, you know, guard against turnovers. We've only had one to this point in the season, but they're a ball-hawking group that are going to try to heat up Jason Bean and get him to put it on the carpet. And we got to do a good job of giving them a taste of their own medicine and turning them over a time or two. And then I think you need to worry about pace of play. They get off more snaps than any team in the country right now with the up-tempo style that they'll come at you with. Just spent 10 minutes talking about how gassed the Kansas defense was because they were out on the field so much versus Baylor. In this case, you could get gassed fast because you're not having a chance to sub as much. They're snapping the ball and coming at you quick. And so you got to be ready for that. Just this past week, they had a 300-yard quarterback, a 100-yard receiver, and a 100-yard rusher. Their running back has 7 touchdowns already on the year. And I know in David Lawrence's film critique, he's most impressed with him. But I think they can beat you in a multitude of ways. You just have to show up ready to handle that tempo and don't give them short fields and extra chances because of your own mistakes offensively. That was a recipe for disaster for Northwestern and just proved to be too big of a hole to climb out of. Kansas can ill afford to do the same this week.
My apologies to Duke. I didn't realize they named the stadium after me. It says Wade Stadium. Oh, wait a minute. Brooks Field at Wallace Wade Stadium. Well, still Wade's in the title anyway. Okay, time for off-the-wall question. Fall is here, Brian, as we established. First day of fall was yesterday. It sounds like you like the cooler temperatures. I know I do. What is your ideal outdoor temperature? Give me the ideal outdoor temperature, a specific degree.
Wow, okay. I'd say 75 because you don't want it too chilly.
Yeah.
But anything that makes you start to perspire, or if you're like me, I don't tan, I burn. I've got the pasty, white, freckled skin that just turns red like a lobster. And so you don't want to bake too much. But I like just enough warmth on your skin to where it feels like you're getting kissed by the sun, not burnt by it.
Uh-huh.
And just a gentle breeze to where, you know, it feels, you know, peaceful and relaxing, not too hot, not too chilly. So I'd say mid-70s is perfect for me.
Yeah, you and I are very alike on many things that we talk about, these off-the-wall questions. Mine is 70. I put here 74.4 just to be a smart aleck. But 74, 75, 76, I'm the same way. Mid-70s. 70s is maybe a little too chilly. 79 might get a little bit too warm. It's funny you said something, though, that brought back a childhood memory there. You said perspire. I had a PE instructor. He was a big, heavyset guy, nice guy. Didn't really look like a PE instructor, but he was a super nice guy. And he had certain sayings. And so when the girls and the boys were out there sitting Indian style in the gym floor and he was talking about certain stuff, he said, I don't know why I remember this, but he goes, just remember, guys sweat. girls perspire, and that's how he said it exactly. Took his voice up just a level. So I know with a radio person, play by play, we're always looking for different ways to say the same thing in regards to vocabulary. Perspire sounds like a more advanced word than sweat, but it means the same thing. But I like how you snuck that in there. That was pretty good. It brought back some childhood memories.
I love the story. Yeah. Well, Coach Leipold, they coach and teach strain. They want the guys to physically exert themselves to the point of straining,
which
just is like maximum effort. Uh-huh. But I think the roll off the tongue way to say it that ties into your gym coaches. We aspire to perspire. So that's what we're aiming to do as we head out to Duke. We're gonna aspire to perspire.
I like it. That should be you should trademark that. That'd be good. That'd be really, really good. I could see it someday, no doubt. Hey man, have a safe trip down to Duke and have a great call. We'll talk to you again next week.
Looking forward to it. Let's talk some Run DMC next week. We are T-minus
eight days
away from late night in the fog. We'll talk about it next week.
Sounds good, man. Take care.
That's
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks. Always a pleasure having him on the show. Brought to you each and every Thursday by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.